Here we go, finally, on the football field for the Browns. And Gary Barnidge, who actually played for both the Browns and the Carolina Panthers, former Browns tight end, join us at 1 o'clock. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. Yesterday, Gavin Williams goes 8 1/3, no-hit innings. Juan Soto, of all people, hits one out, and that's the way that goes. But I think Gavin Williams is looking like a big-time pitcher, and now it's just a matter of stacking big-time starts together and just seeing what he can do because, man, he looks like the real deal. Cole's in North Royalton. Hi, Cole.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Appreciate you taking the call.
Yes, sir.
It was a great game. Amazing outing by Gavin yesterday. Obviously, I agree with you. He's got great stuff. He's a big body. He's got a bright future. I had a quick question for you. I don't know if you guys happened to catch the radio call of the game. I was listening on the radio, and Tom Hamilton, as he, you know, first of all, love Hammy. You know, soundtrack to Cleveland Summers my entire life. But
talks no hitter all game.
The whole time.
Yep.
The whole time. And he does that. Anytime anybody for the Indians or the Guardians has a no-hitter going deeper than, like, the fifth inning, he talks about it pretty much constantly, like he's trying to make a point. Now, here's what I don't understand is, to my knowledge, he's never called a no-hitter. So, he in his mind, it's, you know, well, the jinx ain't real. They can't hear me talking. I understand that. Fine. Fair enough. But until he calls one, where he's talking about it, shouldn't we all just shut up? Shouldn't we respect the baseball gods and keep our mouths shut? Because I'm just saying, you know, it's not a logical thing, but baseball's not a logical game. It's grown men hitting a ball with a stick. So we should respect baseball for what it is. It's just a game, and keep our mouths shut. Nobody talk about it, and then maybe Juan Soto is not going to just crush home runs. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
All right, Cole, thank you very much.
I'm a huge proponent of not saying anything, but I'm not going to tell Hammy he's wrong for saying something. I'm not going to tell Matt Underwood he's wrong. I know I've had this conversation with both those guys back in the day about it, and they are both right in their thinking about
Ding.
They need to, especially on the radio. It's not like you can see, you know, runs, hits, and errors on the radio. So I don't have any problem with Tom doing it. Me personally, I wouldn't do it. And if you ever have a chance to go back and listen to Joe Tate's call of Dennis Eckersley's no-hitter, it's clear as day that Joe says everything but the words no-hitter. And it showed Joe's creativity. It shows Joe's ability to let you know that someone was throwing a no-hitter without actually having to say the words no-hitter. So I think it's up to each announcer. I used to get mad about it. I would be like that phone call. I don't get mad about it anymore. And to be honest with you, I'm glad Hammy said something because I was listening in the radio on the fifth, sixth inning, and I wouldn't have realized it. And then I knew that, you know, like in the sixth inning, it was where I was going. I knew there was a TV, and I was flipping it on right away. Are we mad at the graphics operator that put no hitter alert in the corner? Is there a problem with them? Should that person be chastised? Should the TV station be chastised for putting that up there? You know, it's just old school thinking, and I don't have a problem with anybody on this. I know what I would do, and I would not say it, but I would try to be as creative as possible because I idolize Joe Tate.
Doesn't matter to me. I think Hammy does a great job, and when he says no-hitter, it doesn't faze anybody.
Don't you think Hammy has called a no-hitter on the other side? I'm sure that he's had.
I don't know.
Yeah, the Guardians, the Indians have been no hit in the last since 19. I don't know. When did he take over? 95.
Been 30 some years.
Yeah, something like that. So
I would assume. I think that's been the case, but I don't know. I have no issues with it at all. The baseball gods, to me, it's not anything you need to worry about.
If you were in the dugout, would you walk up to a pitcher and say, "Hey, man, you got no hitter going?"
Now, if you're Andre Knott and you're in the dugout right
outside,
no way that Andre can sit there on mic and say, "Yeah, hey, he's got a no-hitter going." That can't happen. But in the booth, Matt could say it. Tom could say it. It's not a big deal. I was fortunate.
Although I will tell you, sometimes you can hear Hammy out on the field, especially in dome stadiums.
Well, he can still say it.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to be part of a broadcast calling a no-hitter. But unfortunately, it was the Guardians getting Indians.
Jim Abbott.
No-hit by Jim Abbott.
Yeah. What a great story that is, too.
That wasn't good. Kyle's in Asheville, North Carolina. Kyle.
His ability to overcome adversity. That's what's the great part of the story. Yes.
Hey, hi, guys. Kyle. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to give my two cents on why I thought it was a great decision to leave Gavin Williams in there. The big thing for him, and you know, Jeff, I know you talk about him not wanting to get hurt, and I can definitely appreciate that. But for me out there, you know, he was still pumping 97 in the eighth inning. And so even though he was at a high pitch count, it didn't seem like he was laboring at all. Now, obviously,
I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that.
You want to take him out. If he's showing signs of fatigue, okay, obviously his arm is more important than a no-hitter. But also, the last time the Indians / Guardians had a no-hitter, my grandfather was in the booth broadcasting with Herb Score. So that's how long ago it was for Cleveland history, and there hasn't been a no-hitter in 2025 yet either, and that's just such a rare anomaly in baseball. And if you have a guy, a single pitcher, who has a chance to accomplish that feat, I definitely think you got to give him every opportunity to go out there and prove himself.
Mr. Chandler.
Yes.
Very nice. Kyle, how's Asheville, by the way, after all the flooding?
We're rebuilding, but it's fantastic. I'm down here broadcasting for the Asheville Tourists, the Astros High A Club. So that's one of the focal points of this city, being the only pro sports team down here. And I'll tell you that we've been able to sell out a lot this year. And I think part of that is because this community has wanted to help rebuild, and baseball has been such a big part of Asheville for so long. So it's just been great to see all the people come out, and you get to hear their stories. And there are still people who are dealing with not having any homes, which is really the tough part. But we're rebuilding. It'll take some time, but we'll get there.
Kyle, hang in there. Your grandfather was very, very kind to me for a number of years. When I worked in Texas, I would always send him my tapes, and he would look at them and critique them for me. And then
that's fantastic.
Yeah, when I moved to Cleveland, he was very helpful as well and very, very kind. Always. So congratulations.
Well, that's great. I love the show, guys. I appreciate the time.
You got it, Kyle. There you go.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for calling.
Kyle in Asheville, North Carolina. Jeff's in North Olmsted. Hey, Jeff.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Cool. That was really cool, by the way.
Couldn't be finer.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. So, you know, I've got two points. The Hammy point. I believe Hammy has called three no-hitters against us in his career. I know it's two for sure, but I think it might be three. So he's called them before. I don't have a problem with what he's doing. You know, he's the consummate professional, but he's also updating people who are getting into their cars, tuning in last second to see what's going on.
Absolutely.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't even know Gavin Williams had a no-no till my youngest son told me after the sixth inning. So, because I was outside doing some yard work. So I didn't even get to see the beginning of the game. I turned it on, and I saw something special out of that kid yesterday. And the reason I say that is, we've had this time where we thought Gavin was going to be our ace a couple of years prior, had some injury problems. Bybee steps up, has that one good year, and everybody considered Bybee the head honcho of our staff. It's still Gavin Williams. His stuff is electric.
It is.
And him pumping 97 yesterday in the ninth inning was, I've never seen anything like it before. And I'm 43, never seen a no-no in my life. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time watching the game because I want to see it. I'm a baseball purist. I love it. I played college ball. So, it's special to me. And watching those type of games are what makes you a baseball fan, right? You know, pitchers' duels and all those things are great, but watching one beautiful performance is just epic.
Jeff, I couldn't agree with you more on that. One thing, Andy and Dano found this for us, and this is, again, I would have let him go yesterday. I would have. You're in August. You know, you got it going. It's August. You're stretched out. It's not early. It's not cold. Gavin Williams threw the most pitches yesterday that any pitcher has thrown in a major league game this year by far. He threw 126 pitches. Next is Zach Littell of Tampa Bay with 117.
Hmm.
So, you know, nine more pitches. Is it a big deal? Hopefully not. Hopefully not. That's the only thing I'd pay attention to. And then I think the previous high for Gavin was back in May, late May. He threw 109 against the Dodgers. Mike's in Orlando, Florida. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Good morning. How are we today?
Good morning. We're good. Good.
Hey, I was thinking about, you know, this whole Jennings thing. Do I talk to the pitcher? Do I talk to this guy? Do I talk to this guy? And there's other things like, you know, you always step over the foul lines at the beginning of the game. Don't ever step on the foul line. You know, that's bad juju.
But coming on,
there are guys that do, though. Yeah. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, in my experience as a Ironman triathlete and a long-distance runner, we have two little things, you know, that we don't do is – you never put the T-shirt on, the race day T-shirt on, yeah, before the race is over. That is just bad juju.
Okay.
And the second thing that we don't do is when we do our warm-ups and we're running around to warm up, we never cross the finish line. You know, the finish line is always set up before the beginning of the race.
Right.
And when you do your warm-ups, you never cross the finish line. And it doesn't matter if you go in the right way or you go out the wrong way. It doesn't matter. You don't cross the finish line.
You do the Ironmans, Mike, like the swim 2 miles, the run the marathon, and then your bike 100 or something like that?
Yeah, a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike, and a 26-mile run.
But, Mike, I'll also tell you this.
Good
like,
Lord,
if someone walked up to you and said, what kind of shoes do you wear? Just what brand? Just curious.
I wear Brooks.
Okay, so let's just say someone came up to you before and said, oh, man, I had a pair of Brooks like those, and those are great shoes, but I got to tell you, the bottom, I was having problems with the bottom of it. Was that something, like, would you want someone to put that in your mind, or would somebody say to you, you know what, last time I did a triathlon, I started swallowing water, and I had to drop out of the race. Like, you don't want those negative thoughts in your head. You know what I'm saying?
No. Let me give you an example. I did the... in Charleston, South Carolina, they had the Cooper River Bridge Run, and you got a bus over from the Charleston side to the Mount Pleasant side.
Just drove that last year, as a matter of fact. Yep.
And so I'm on the bus with a guy I used to work with, and he says, boy, I can't wait to get to the top so I could look over the bridge and look at all the boats and everything on the river. And I thought, oh, you son of a bitch. Oh, sorry. Why did you tell me that? Because I got on top of the bridge, and you know what I did? I looked right, I looked left.
All right, Mike. Thank you very much.
It's about
triathlon talk right here on Baskin and Phelps.
I don't know if it's so much that you're breaking the jinx. It's that you want to make sure that the player just doesn't have negative thoughts. That's all there is to it. I think that's more to it than anything.
The 126 pitches, again, fingers crossed that it's not anything that hurts him moving forward. Logan Allen threw 113 his last start and then wasn't quite as sharp the other day, but still did a great job gutting through five innings and giving up only two runs. What we have is a rotation that has some real guys in it that are doing a really nice job, to the point where in one of the previous callers just kind of mentioned it. He threw out a couple of names and a couple of levels of confidence in those guys. If the playoffs are starting tomorrow, and by golly, Andy, let's put the Guardians in the playoffs. Who's going to be your three-man rotation? It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.